the fourth commandment. If you look with me, it's the in Exodus the 20 chapter in verse 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all of them, all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherewith the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." of the different ones, this video is kind of interesting, and a little bit of the take on the Sabbath day. I'll be interested in the discussion today that we have. When you hear the term Sabbath, what does the Sabbath mean to you?
Sunday.
Okay.
Saturday.
The Lord's Day.
Saturday, the Jewish holy day.
Day of rest.
What's that?
Day of rest.
Make it a sanctified day.
Okay. Sanctified day, holy day. Okay. Anything else? Good descriptions of it. We're going to have a little bit more discussion about that after we see the video. What's the American dream? How would you describe the American dream? I mean, haven't we all grown up hearing the American dream? Anybody else?
To retire and rest. To retire and travel.
Freedom.
I like that. Yeah. Anything else? Is the American, what's that?
That's what I heard. That's what I was reporting.
Is the American dream alive and well today?
As a dream.
Do other nations have the same American dream?
I doubt it's the American dream, but they may have a dream.
Okay. What do you think their dream is?
Well, it needs to be like America, unfortunately for them.
So what's the promise of how we get the American dream? How do you achieve it?
Work hard, do the right thing.
What do you think God's dream is for us? What do you think his, quote, American dream is? His world dream?
And they all have a relationship with him. That's what the whole deal is, not the... have more possessions, or, you know, if everyone knew him, there's freedom with knowing the Lord. It gives you all freedom. Not man's freedom, but...
goes back to the freedom statement, you know, that Sister Robin said, you know. Yeah, freedom. Freedom from bondage. Yeah. Live under grace. Have a relationship with God. Did you hear that? That we all be transformed and be like his son. How many of those elements that we just discussed of God's dream for our lives match up with the American dream that we described? Not too many of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Our founders looked towards that religious freedom in particular, and whether that has gone completely watered away in what I heard as the American dream as a young person, but that's why I say kind of generationally and so forth, it varies, I think, what you would hear. And
right.
So forth.
If you don't achieve the American dream as we've described it, you know, how does society view you? How do you view yourself?
Some people are angry, some people feel failure. Maybe.
Probably about both of those. I mean, we allow society to create the expectation of our life, whether it's in terms of material possessions, status, power. We also allow society in our work to say that if you're not changing, you're not growing to different heights, getting raises, that somehow or other you're not successful. What's Paul tell us about? What's that? Which part? Society just tells us that if we're not growing, if we're not changing jobs, you know, sometimes, you know, from a quote our professional, our career, clearly in the education field, that you need to be growing, getting new jobs, growing, making more money. I mean, we have a society that really kind of teaches us those principles. Which kind of gets back to the other question, you know, who is it that sets the expectation in our minds of what the dream should be?
Parents and family.
Oh, well, I think that's pretty biblical, isn't it? Based on what foundation?
God's.
Foundation of God.
Unfortunately, that's not the case a lot.
Yeah. And if when you think about the American dream, you also think about, again, who is it that's establishing that? And Wendy and I had this discussion the other day. A lot of it has to do with what, you know, people abdicating the responsibility, whose responsibility it is to raise their children. And it even falls to religion. It's my responsibility to bring my kids to church and Sunday school so that the Sunday school teachers can educate them on God's principles and foundations. And sometimes it's as easy as dropping them off at the front door, at least in people's minds. So, what does all this have to do with the Sabbath day? Anything?
Too.
Well, let's go ahead and watch the this episode, and we'll discuss it at the end.
LA is a city where nothing lasts forever. You won't see any monuments. No statues. Life is fast. And change can come even faster. Everyone goes fast as they can in LA. Until suddenly, they're forced to stop.
Traffic on the 9s here at AM 640 KWLA. Just receiving word of an injury crash on the 10 freeway involving a limousine that's got the four left lanes of the westbound lanes closed, causing major delays all the way to downtown on the Hollywood Freeway.
Mr. and Mrs. Evans, your son has suffered severe head trauma from the accident. Now, we've done all that we can to stop the bleeding in the brain itself, but the swelling is at dangerous levels.
Solo like your old man.
Dad, I didn't know you were coming down here.
Yeah, well, my boy's first show, I had to bring you something. Listen, hey, before the encore, you come find me backstage. I got a little surprise for you.
Really? What is it?
It's just a little surprise, man. Take it easy. Have a great show. Find me backstage.
Well, I don't know. What are you doing?
No. Come on. Have a good show.
I wanted to keep you informed. Mr. Evans. I have to return to surgery.
Where's the first aid? Where? Yeah, well, make sure they have the G5 ready this time. No more of that commercial garbage. Is there an opener? Who? I don't care what the label says. I'm not playing with it. Is that thing tuned up? Get it backstage. I'll be there in a minute. Oh, is that right? That right. Yeah, well, you can tell Nelson, if he likes these guys so much, he can fly to Bangkok and play with them. I'm not doing it.
They're off the stage.
I'm dealing with something right now. I said I'll be there in a minute.
Yo, awesome! Ooh, high five! High five!
All right, guys. Get back out there. Go. Now. Go. Go. Will, you gotta go. Will, now you gotta go.
Wait, my dad, he's here.
Yeah, and who's the genius that booked us at the Troubadour? I mean, my kid's playing the Staples Center, and I'm playing a wooden box. Come on.
Will, now, go.
We lost him. I'm so sorry.
Tragedy can come at any time, even in the City of Angels. In the land where the seasons never change, lives do. As we race down the fast lane, sometimes we drive right past our destination. Yet once we realize we've missed our exit, it's too late.
If only he would have just stopped and slowed down. I mean, we all make the mistake that he made. We try to do just one more thing. We just try to squeeze just a little more in, and what happens is we miss things. We get overrun. And I bet he's got to be thinking, man, I wish I took that opportunity to be on that stage with my son on that last moment, to be together. And you know what? That's what the fourth commandment is all about. It's that concept of rest. It says, will you remember the Sabbath? Will you stop? And will you rest? Will you slow down? And I know you're probably thinking what I'm thinking. That sounds good, but... And that's what the Israelites were thinking. I mean, the concept of rest or slowing down was foreign to them. I mean, they were slaves, and so they were used to working. And they were used to being driven by a slave driver. And so they were always on the go. So God had to teach them, actually had to train them, how to slow down and rest. And he did that through manna, by feeding them. Every morning he would put food out on the ground and he said, take enough just for a day. But on that sixth day, will you take enough for 2 days? So the seventh day you can rest. And that's what they did over and over again for 40 years. That's how important it is to God. That's how important it was for God to let the Israelites know that they needed to rest, that they needed to slow down, that they needed to take a day. That's how important it is for us. We live in a world that won't stop, that won't shut down. I mean, we have email in our hand and cell phones in our pockets and laptops over our shoulders. I mean, we can literally work all the time. Work is just on our fingertips. And because we can work and do everything all the time, we do. The idea of slowing down and stopping is as foreign to us as it was to the Israelites. I had this great opportunity to meet a great man named Gordon MacDonald, and he was trying to teach me how to just slow down and read. And I told him when I read, I felt like I wasn't working, and I felt guilty about it. And he told me the story about how he was in Ireland, and he was watching these men work in the field, and they were working with machete and with sickles, and he was watching them cut the field, and they would almost do it in this rhythmic fashion, and then they would all stop at once, and they would sharpen their blades all in the same way. And he said they almost sharpened their blades as long as they cut on the field, because they realized when their blades were sharp, they were more productive. And that's what God's saying to us. He's saying, will you take a moment? Will you take a day, a Sabbath, and rest and sharpen your blade? Will you realize that I will provide for you, that I'll take care of you? Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel like you're just trying to do one more thing? Are you going after more and more and you're only finding yourself more and more out of control? God's saying, slow down. Take a Sabbath and rest. God worked for 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. If it's good for God, it'll be great for us.
So did you like his interpretation of the Sabbath? Okay, I'm seeing some head shaking, some cautiously shaking. One, something's missing.
Well, I have a definite answer, but I hate to give it and then everybody, you know.
Well, I think that makes a very valid point that we usually miss is, you know, the Sabbath was for them a day of rest, a day where you don't work. But in addition to resting, it was a holy day, a sanctified day set aside to give praise to God, to give God his due as well. And I think that was the part that was missing, that people, you know, the cautious people shaking their heads, I don't know. You know, is it the focus on God is supposed to be on that day? It's the day where we renew ourselves and our spirit through worship of God.
I found the interpretation a little bit interesting in dealing with family, and that somehow...
Can I have everybody speak a little louder, because I don't know that everybody can hear?
Please. I found it a little interesting, the interpretation, that somehow, I got the feeling that there was an interpretation of holy and separated dealing with family, a connection there. I found that kind of, I think that it's lacking something. I thought it was kind of interesting. One of the things that I have found interesting sometimes in what the film or what the episode shows often then is explained in an excellent way in the commentary. Mm-hmm. This one still didn't quite get there for me.
Other thoughts?
Yeah. One thing I liked was the analogy he gave of the workers working together and the blades going dull and all sharpening at the same time. And when we all collectively as a church take that time of rest in the Lord, we are going to be more productive as a church. We got some members who are worn out and distracted and tired, and others who are ready. There's an imbalance there. Like the workers who are all sharp and ready to go at the end. It's very beneficial for us as a body.
I think what he says is important, and I think it's so true that we neglect our families for work and whatever, and I liked his point that we can work it all 24/7, and we do, because we can now. And I think it's a very valid point that it's a messed up life that is that way, that we have our priorities out of whack. And I'm like, Jeff, that something's missing. I mean, that's not the only thing that's important for the Sabbath. We have, there was all of the worship that went on the Sabbath, and that there was people, and the priests, that was their work day. I mean.
I also know people who are so busy in family. I mean, there's no rest there either. I mean, we can make anything busy work. I found it kind of interesting. It felt to me, and it may not be a fair analogy or fair observation, but it felt to me like it was a Western interpretation or even an American interpretation of what the Sabbath is, and that our society, what really we should, family, taking time. I mean, neither the episode nor he really talked about the holy or the sanctified or and you can only connect those two to some kind of connection to God. I mean, holy means separate, but God wasn't trying to tell them to have a separate day unto themselves. It was separate unto him. That was his point. And one of the, I thought it was kind of interesting, he talked about the manna and talked about that. One of the things that the children of Israel had in wandering in the wilderness in connection to that of the Sabbath was the tabernacle. And that played more of a part than the manna did. And I thought it was kind of interesting that he used the manna as, kind of support their case that it was, and maybe I'm missing something.
I don't think you're missing something. I think the manna, from my perspective, played into it, because, obviously God was trying to create a dependence upon him and teach them that he is there and he will provide for your needs. And when they went out and tried to collect multiple days of manna, it just rotted except for on that sixth day. And for what purpose? Who is the Sabbath made for? It's not really intended to be a trick question. I just never thought of it before. The scriptures actually tell us the answer, but what's that?
It's
God. Okay. So we got really two choices, don't we? It's either for God or for man. Can someone read Mark 2:27 for me?
Mark
And he said, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
So what's that saying?
Now you have to read the context to some degree around that, but the context was, it was the Pharisees. Like everything we tend to do in life, we tend to, you know, like the Pharisees, and we make it something. It's a to-do list. And for literally hundreds and hundreds of years, the Israelites and the rabbis, you know, constructed, you know, what you can or can't do upon the Sabbath day. And I like this verse. He said unto them, and this is who? The he is Jesus. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.
But that doesn't end the thought. I mean, you have to finish.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That stops.
And what does it say?
Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
Okay. So what's the point?
Well, the Sabbath is to benefit the man. Mm-hmm.
Spiritual food. Rest and focus, and as Kevin said, sharpening up the sight, and hopefully with your family to show and teach how to. I think if you bring the family into that part, that's what that would be. We should be together, focusing on God.
They were so focused on the law and the rules, they lost sight of who they were resting on.
Right, right, and what the purpose was it for? Right, exactly.
That day. Different elements.
Whose image are we created in? Okay. And so the example was given to us by who? God. Whether you want to debate creation of seven literal days or over whatever period of time, the pure fact is, which I believe it was seven pure days. But anyway, if you go back and you look in Genesis, and what did God do on the seventh day? He rested. God rested. That's a pretty good example for us, isn't it? Remember, Israel had been in bondage for how many years in Egypt? About 400. Do you remember when we discussed when they were in bondage in Egypt? How long was the work week? How long was the week in Egypt? It's 10 days. In fact, that's what the Egyptian calendar was based on, was 10 days. It's kind of interesting that we don't follow the Egyptian calendar. We follow, a work week is now, or week is 7 days. And so remember, he took them out of bondage and into a situation to where they probably really didn't have much rest. They hadn't been following the principle. Now here's a question for you. And again, this lesson, from my perspective is for all the reasons that have been stated, this one left me a little bit cold because I don't think it went far enough to really saying what the Sabbath really is. I do think that what is described here, when you look at the dad was more preoccupied with his own career. In fact, he was jealous of his son and what his son was accomplishing. He was jealous that the American dream of passing on something better to your son, it appeared to be happening, but boy, it was painful to him. Instead of joying in what, he was accomplishing, aside with what the foundation was, human nature being what it was, he began to focus on himself, and because he focused on himself, he lost the opportunity with something that he had initially thought was really important, to be there for his son and have something special that he wanted to share with him. And I think that there's a lot of truth in that we do need to make sure that family is and the Sabbath, as was prescribed to Israel, allowed for that. In fact, it encouraged that. Because remember, when we go back and in the particular case of Egypt, when they were in the wilderness, the manna was provided for them. But as time went on from there, it took an awful lot of effort to prepare food. And the opportunity to be with your family and to be in service to the Lord, though. Because remember, it was all about being in service to the Lord. That's the tabernacle side of it that Brother Harlan pointed out was absent in this. And in family, you know, we are instructed to lead out in the family and to find ourselves in a situation to where we are bringing our family together to be in service and in worship to the Lord, to come before Him. And I think these are all important elements and points that were left out here. But when you go back and you look at the children of Israel when they came out, they, on that seventh day, it appears as though, if you look over in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, now this is Ezekiel looking back upon Israel, okay, when they were in the wilderness. And Ezekiel 20:12 says, well, let's start with 20:10. He says, "Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt," and the I is God, "and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel did what? They rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out." The children of Israel, when they got out there, first of all, God says here, He gives you a clarity of what the purpose was. "That it might be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord God that sanctified them." If you go back and we looked in the book of Exodus, and it talked about the statute, the fourth command that was given, it was to be a holy day, to be set aside for rest, but also to work on her relationship with God, to worship God, to remember, to call to memory what God had delivered them from. Remember, the Ten Commandments were given to the children of Israel for what purpose? It's about their relationship with God. It was not only the relationship with God. Remember, the first four commandments are between God and who?
God and us.
The other ones are between us, between man. And I find it really interesting that here, more focused between man. It didn't really focus between God and man. And I really think that if you start with the premise of the relationship with God and us, to really work on that, to take a rest, to stand back, take time. And part of that is to have a relationship not only with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but also with your family, which hopefully are brothers and sisters in Christ themselves. But Israel themselves had been so focused when they were in Egypt for 400 years in bondage, they were used to working their fingers to the bone. You know, the first part of it didn't appear as though it was really servitude in the sense of being slaves. It evolved to where they were slaves because of the change in who was the leaders and the pharaohs. But God brought them out of Egypt, and God gave them the Sabbath for their benefit. And remember, He chose them to be His people. He chose them to have a relationship with. Interesting question. I don't have the answer to this. I can speculate on it. Do you think that the Sabbath existed prior to, in terms of Abraham, for example, of honoring the Sabbath day? or was this the first commandment? I mean, God talks about what he did on the seventh day. But before that period of time and in God giving those Ten Commandments to the people, I don't know.
That's how I look at it. I think there were a people, particularly in the beginning, who knew there was a day of rest.
Speculate.
You can speculate.
That's how I.
You know, I clearly think that Abraham and all of them understood that. So, does the New Testament tell us to honor the Sabbath?
Actually, there's a verse that says, "Don't keep Sabbaths, holy days."
There's a verse that
what?
It says, don't keep, you know, don't allow men to force you to keep Sabbath, holy days. There's a list of four or five different things. And one of those is special religious days is the idea as of the Old Testament.
It's in Ephesians somewhere.
I remember the context of this. So the question is, are we supposed to follow the Sabbath now?
It's kind of interesting. Every one of the Ten Commandments is reiterated in the New Testament, except
for
keep the Sabbath. But what's interesting is we do find a holy day in the New Testament that was kept by the church. It's not commanded.
And what day was that?
First day of the week.
First day of the week. And the principle is the same. The principle of worshiping God. Coming together. If you're going to come together and worship God, implicit in that is you need to make time. I mean, the principle is there, but you're right. Of the Ten Commandments, this is the one that is not specifically called out in exactly the same fashion. But by example, we see it. And in the same way that I asked the question prior to the Ten Commandments being given to the children of Israel, did Abraham, did Adam follow the principle? And I have to believe that principle that God, you know, when he said on the seventh day that he rested. And when you look that Adam was given the responsibility in the garden to tend it, it's hard for me to believe that God said on the seventh day you continue to tend it. So I think we have by example and by pattern that clearly a day of rest separating aside. Other thoughts or comments?
It's kind of interesting, even without the Sabbath being reiterated, there are still denominations and Christian groups that keep the Sabbath and believe we should keep the Ten Commandments to the extent of the legality of the law, even though it's not reiterated in the New Testament. It's kind of interesting. You know, if it was restated in that context, you could imagine the motivation. It's not even stated, and some still struggle with that. So,
well, clearly the Jews struggled with it, didn't they? The Pharisees, yeah. In fact, a lot of people today still kind of want to do it as a checklist. Went to church. Yeah. I mean, it's hard, but today even more so. And when he talked about whether it's in relationship to our relationship with each other or our relationship with God, we do live in a world that we have to challenge ourselves to pull back from. He mentioned email, and he mentioned cell phones. And even since this, there's two other things that have become even more prevalent in the lives of the younger generation today. And what are those? Texting.
Facebook.
Facebook. Twitter. What was that?
Twitter.
There is no rest. There is no rest. I carry around my cell phone with me, and every time that I get something from work that pings, I'm looking at it. That's changed in the last 5 years. And yet all of a sudden it becomes a hook that you're just pulled to it. And it's not so much even the fact that it's the physically looking at it. When you get a ding that you've got an email, say, I'm not going to look at it, I'm not going to look at it. What typically happens with those of you that have email and do that? I just got to know what's in
you
it.
You might as well look.
I just got to know what's in it, you know. I can't wait to get home to look at somebody's Facebook page, what's going on in their life. In fact, it's become the social outlet for a lot of people. There's nothing wrong with these things. These are tools. I mean, they themselves, there's nothing wrong with how they are used and how they consume your life and how they take over your life. They do become between us and God. And I got to tell you, probably the whole issue of the media and the social media today is probably one of the most difficult ones that we struggle with. Probably a lot of us, even in this room, of how it pulls us. God intended for us, and I really like, and you're right, Brother Kevin, I really like the example that he gave there, when they all stopped and sharpened their scythes together, they went back and they were much more productive. They were together. They were a group. We don't tend to do things a lot as a group, as community. And the world we live in really promotes us to be individuals to the exclusion of other people. And where we have our community is a faceless community. A faceless community of an email, a faceless community of a web page.
And the Sabbath was a community event.
Exactly.
And the one thing I can appreciate the point that we're making, it also was a family event. I mean, I had no problem drawing that.
Right.
But not also the emphasis of God in the holy part, sanctified part. But it clearly, and that illustration I thought was a great illustration that shows community, and that, some people will use the argument, well, I can go and I can, take my Sabbath and go in nature and commune with God. Well, that wasn't the only thing that God wanted you to do on that Sabbath or for a day of rest. A day of worship wasn't just to commune with Him. I mean, there was community and other things that played a very important part to that.
Shows me the responsibility, as I listen to the discussion, the responsibility we have to provide that element of worship and the presentation of God's Word so it is restful and edifying and refreshing. I've been in churches where the bulletin was like a little book, and at 7 o'clock people are dragging themselves to the car because there's so much that is happening and going on and so much to do that it's a rat race. It's not the time to come together. I mean, we have a real responsibility to provide that.
Brother Kevin, that's an excellent point. I mean, sometimes you're more tired after your quote, day of rest because of all the activities that you're trying to cram into it in the name of God. Now, some people will take that statement and use it as a reason not to be involved. And that's the wrong reason, too. Go ahead.
The Lord wanted them to have a day of rest. I think maybe it was with purpose that
he didn't tie it to family there, whereas I think, I mean, I think there's, yes, we can spend time with our family, but throughout the whole, our family is a, more of a priority, except if you just have a day a week that you worship, you do your rest, and you spend it with your family, you're still not going to have a balanced life.
Right. And that's an excellent point. And I think the point to me that really resonates here is the relationship that was missed. And if we go back to the Ten Commandments, and if we go back to what it was about, God wants to have a relationship with us. And it's true that that relationship with God should not only be on the Sabbath, should not only be on Sunday. We need to cultivate that relationship every day. And oftentimes during the week, we miss opportunities in our relationship with God. We miss opportunities for God to speak to us. We don't see it. We get so busy that we don't think about or that we need that relationship, or we take that relationship for granted.
Same things that cause us, that prevent us from taking our day of rest, we get so busy that prevents us from having time with our children and our
exactly.
families. And it's not, you know, it's the being driven to be working 24/7, which is what we see.
Exactly.
That, I mean, it is just so, it cheats not only yourself and your relationship with God, it cheats your whole family and all your relationships.
And in tying it back to the relationship side, then this really does resonate. Because when it becomes about us, then we exclude others in our life. And the relationship doesn't become important. The relationship only becomes important when all of a sudden there's a crisis. And when do we tend to go to God? When there's a crisis, when we need something. In this particular case, the dad was focused on himself, and something happened, and then he thought about the relationship. And in this particular case, the relationship wasn't there anymore. The good news is, in our relationship with God as saved individuals, he's always going to be there. He's waiting for us to come back to that relationship. And that is the context when we come back and we look at the Sabbath and we look at coming together. It's about community. It's about a chance to take a deep breath. It's to stand back, clear our mind, turn off the cell phones, turn off the texting, and focus on our relationship with God. Worship Him, praise Him for all the things that He has done for us. And doing so is a family. We strengthen, we take time to nurture and grow those relationships too in an environment of God's world as opposed to the environment of the other 6 days to where we're running rapidly. Other thoughts or comments? It's an interesting topic. And there were elements of it, and that's why I like having the discussion here. While we may not always line up exactly with what it's at, the opportunity to have the dialogue and to say, what was it that troubled us about, you know, how it was portrayed here? And for me, I was not troubled by the message that was given, but it was a partial message. And that's sometimes what happens in our world and our service to God is we want to pick and choose which elements of God's word that the gospel tells us to be declarer of the whole counsel of God and not just to pick and choose those elements that resonate with us.
From that standpoint, I would hate the responsibility in like a scene or a movie or something to try to exemplify these in and from that aspect, I really appreciate what they have accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've tried to take a modern scene and say, here is an application of the Ten Commandments. And I have no problem from that standpoint. Did this one capture the whole essence? You know, but I can still appreciate where they're coming from. And I think that sometimes seeing wrong application or not a full application can challenge us too. You know, is this enough? Is this what God intended?
And the reality is we are going to have to slow down. We need to slow our lives down. We do need to rest. My sense is we should be resting in the Lord as opposed to resting in ourselves. But
you know, the discussion may be what drives us to be on 24/7. What do we think we're accomplishing by that?
Yeah. And to me, that gets back to where we started the question of what's the American dream? Because we're in pursuit of that next rung on the ladder.
And is it that, I mean, traditionally, we've seen it on many different forums where the people work so hard to provide for their children, they neglect their children doing it, and then the day comes when they have no relationship with their children.
Right.
And what's, so truthfully, our motivation really wasn't our children.
And the reality is that as we start out, the American dream has always been on to pass a better life on to your kids than what you had. Wrong motivation. It plays out nicely on paper, but exactly as you suggest, you become so consumed about providing a better life for them that you neglect the relationship that you have with them today.
They would rather have you.
That they would rather have you, and we hear that all the time. I remember there's elements that I necessarily like, but I remember a song called The Cat in the Cradle growing up. And it was really about that. So consumed by the next rung in the ladder that they had no relationship with this child. And how sad that is. And it's sad because every one of us covets that relationship. And think about that statement, though. Every one of us covets that relationship with our child or our parent. It's no different with God the Father.
The line that's fascinating in that song is, he's grown up just like me.
Right. Yeah, he's grown up just like me. Yeah.
I know we're out of time, but the greatest obstacle I have with inviting people to church and sharing Christ is Sunday is the family day. And, you know, you work 5 days a week, you do all the family business on Saturday, and you spend time with your family on Sunday. And I like what you said in your conclusion. You know, to bring people around or spending time with your family, if it's God-centered, it's going to be more beneficial. But helping people to understand that is such... Right, they might say, well, I'm going to go to church, this is a family, we've got plans. It's a real challenge that I can
cross. And it's because we don't connect that relationship with God with the relationship with our family.
Really,
yeah. Okay, our time is up. Thanks, everybody.